I'd like you to look first in John chapter 14. I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about revival, and some of the things I'm going to say will be a bit of a repetition of what I said earlier. I think that, you know, based on observation and really what we see in the Word of God and through prayer and so forth, a lot of people have held back the hand of God unintentionally, but they've done it because of what you might call self-perception. Look in John chapter 14, just look at verse 12, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And we're not going to get into the thing about the greater works. When he's talking there about the greater works, that's not talking about something in the natural. There's nothing greater than raising somebody from the dead. I mean, that's like the epitome of miracles. You can get somebody healed from a disease that is a killer disease for which there's no cure. But to raise them from the dead after that disease has killed them, you know, that's another level. There's nothing greater in the natural than getting somebody raised from the dead. In the realm of the Spirit, the greatest work is leading somebody to be born again, and that's something that Jesus could never do, because born again was not available until after he had completed his work here on earth. So when he talks here about this greater works, greater than these shall he do, he's talking about us being able to do something that Jesus could never do, and that is tell someone that Jesus died for their sins. Jesus said he was going to, but we can tell them he did. Praise God. Well, when you talk about, you know, doing the works of Jesus, quite frankly, there are a lot of people that just don't believe they can. It's almost like they look at this verse and they think, well, okay, I read that, but I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know that I could do this. Well, now, why did Jesus think he could do it? I mean, have you ever wondered that? Why did Jesus think he could do that? He said, well, because he was the Son of God. Well, aren't we born again, though? Have the same life and nature, don't we? And we are God's children. So we could have the same perception of ourselves, could we not? This a child of God, Son of God. Well, yeah, but, you know, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, for those of us who have chosen to go that route, are we not filled with the same Holy Spirit? And sure we are. Yeah, but Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit. True. But didn't Jesus say you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? So therefore, we also qualify from that perspective. But why did Jesus believe he could do these things? Think about that. There had to come a point in time in his life where he believed he could. You see what I'm saying? Well, we're not going to get into Old Testament prophecies about what the Messiah would do, but I want you to see something. In verse 9, Philip had asked the question, "Show us the Father." And Jesus responds and he says, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father?" So Jesus is saying, look, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, in other places, Jesus talked about, I can't do anything that I don't see the Father do. And I don't speak of myself. I speak what the Father tells me to speak. In other words, what Jesus had done is spent enough time with the Father for the Father to reveal himself to Jesus so that Jesus would know he could do what the Father could do. Now, we're not talking about creating universes, okay? We're talking about here on earth and what the Father wants done. So Jesus, and you can see in Scripture how Jesus, you know, he pulled away and went up to pray and things like that. Jesus spent enough time with the Father to capture from the Father the understanding, son, you can do this. Now, at what point Jesus came to that understanding, I don't know. I don't know how old he was when that happened. But to me, that's not as important as the fact that it did happen. So somewhere along the line, he comes to this realization, this understanding that he can do these things. And the Father began to speak to him because he could speak to him spirit to spirit. And the Father began to commune with Jesus. And you'll notice that Jesus didn't do any miracles, didn't do any healings, anything until after he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus knew that he could do these things. He stands up in church one day and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to go do all of these things." Okay, now, Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also." Jesus believed he could do this. But now here's the thing. He also believed we could too. He said, "Look, you believe on me, you can do these works. You can do these things." Why is that, Jesus? "Well, I believed on the Father. No man comes unto the Father but by me. If you believe in me, you then can go do these works." Now let me show you something in John 16. When Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now remember, Jesus made the statement, Paul wrote how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Luke wrote in Acts, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says in John 16, verse 14, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you." Okay, now let's think about this verse. First off, he says that the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. How's the Holy Spirit going to glorify Jesus? Just think about that for a moment. How can the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? Now we know that Jesus, when he's speaking here in John 16, he's speaking about what's going to happen after I've ascended back to the Father. So now Jesus, he's in heaven with the Father. How does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever witnessed the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? I know some of you might try to play with that question. That's a trick question, Brother Martin. Now, I mean a trick question. In other words, have you ever watched the Holy Spirit walk up to somebody or, you know, stand up in a church service, and have you ever seen the person of the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? No, you haven't. The Holy Spirit is a spirit, and he's going to stay that way. So how does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? How? "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Okay, now how did, and again, you can go through the four Gospels and you'll see these. How did the Holy Spirit glorify the Father? By doing the Father's works, enabling Jesus to do the works of the Father. Because Jesus talked about glorifying the Father. Okay? Now, how does the Holy Spirit glorify Jesus? By working in us to enable us to do the works of Jesus. See? Okay, now, from that perspective alone, what is one of the Holy Spirit's job descriptions? To empower us to do the works of Jesus. Okay? Now, there are no exceptions in this. "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also." Well, I believe on Jesus and I'm born again. Yeah, but Jesus said you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Part of believing on Jesus means believing what he has said. So now, if he has said that I'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost can come upon me, then isn't that kind of like an instruction? Go get the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost come upon you. Now, what do we have, though? In the body of Christ, a lot of people that, if God wants me to have that experience, it'll happen. Now, wait a minute. God wanted you to have the experience of being born again, did he not? But did it just happen? Nope. You had to be a participant in this thing. Likewise, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit comes with you being a participant with God. Now, the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus by working through us and by helping us to do the works of Jesus. Not our own works, but the works of Jesus. Jesus said, "I don't do my own works. I do the works of him that sent me." So Jesus went about doing those things. And now we have the responsibility of likewise doing those things. But here's what it comes down to. here in Scripture, we know this is true. Well, now wait a minute. Not everybody does. We in this room know this is true. But not all Christians accept this, do they? Some of us in here in this room at some point in our lives, we didn't believe this. Oh, we were going to heaven because we were born again, but we didn't believe this thing about doing the works of Jesus. We passed it off as to, you know, that was the apostles, but that's not us. And Jesus didn't make that distinction. Whosoever is whosoever. So now if we believe in Him, that means we have the capacity to do the works of Jesus. Now, don't respond. How many of you in here honestly believe, and those of you listening to this, how many of you honestly believe that you can raise the dead? You know, think about it. How many of you really believe this? How many of you really believe that you can minister to somebody who's maimed and see that healing take place? See, one of the first things that has to happen in us is a change in our belief system. We have to believe we can do this. And quite frankly, I've come across a lot of Christians, and this is not meant to be a criticism. We're kind of, in a way, a byproduct of our religious environment. But come across a lot of Christians, they just don't believe it. They see themselves as a 9-to-5 who punches the time clock. But they don't see themselves as a blind eye opener. They see themselves as retired with nothing to do in life. But they don't see themselves as a lay hands on the sick and see them recover person. In other words, I'm just me. I just don't know if these kind of things are ever going to happen in my life. Well, here's the example. God's Word. I remember I was talking to the Lord about, you know, I want to have an experience with You. These people talk about, you know, this glory and all of a sudden. I want to have an experience with You. I mean, I want to, like, you know, see You. I want to have some kind of vision of You or Your glory or something. I want, you know what I'm talking about, all right? And you guys probably thought the same thing. Oh, God, I want to. And the Lord spoke up. And He said, now get this, He said, isn't My Word enough? In other words, the revelation of His glory here in His Word, isn't that enough? I thought, well, yeah, I guess it is. And He didn't say a whole lot after that, but He made an impression. How that's the problem. Part of it is that we honestly aren't willing to accept what He said in here as being our example. It's like we're looking for something else. I want to see Your glory. It's revealed here in My Word. All I see is black and red ink. It's the revelation. It's what the words are revealing about Him. Just like when Philip asked the question, show us the Father, and Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Now I can go and I can say, but I want to see Jesus. He's revealed right here in the Word. In other words, if I truly believe it, I don't have to have Jesus walk up to me, and, now get this, and lay His hands on me and transfer His anointing to me. I don't have to have that. All I have to have is a belief that I can do His works. Now, how did Jesus do the works of the Father? He was anointed by the Holy Spirit. But you and I both know that He spent a lot of time with the Father. The more time that we spend with the Father, the more we begin to change. And here's where the belief system really begins to kick in. We have to believe. We have to come to the place of believing that we can be, and allow me some liberty here, we can be an exact replica of Jesus Christ on this planet. Now, we're going to look like us. And women, you're not going to sprout a beard and all this other. But we're going to be us. But I'm talking about in that anointing. I'm talking about doing the works and so forth. We can be an exact replica of Jesus Christ. We have to come to the place of believing that. And it doesn't matter if you didn't grow up in a preacher's house. Listen, sometimes, things I've seen over the years, I think it's almost a detriment for some people to have grown up in a pastor's house. Not always. But what I'm saying is, you can't look at your circumstances and say, well, my past has been this, or look how old I am. I'm too old to start this thing now. Or look at my family situation. You know, I've got a lousy situation. We can't use that as an excuse. You say, yeah, but Brother Martin, that's what you say. You're not in my shoes. I know I'm not. But now again, think with me. Things that something I've shared in the past. God knows the beginning from the end. And that means that His plan for you to be able to conform to the fullness of Christ includes your situation right now. Doesn't matter what it is. You know, you may be in a position to where you're living in a house of parents and grandparents and kids and aunts and uncles. I mean, maybe everybody has to live together because the financial situation is so lousy. And it's like 25 people in that house and two bedrooms and one bathroom. In other words, you know, God's been bracing Himself for this moment when you were going to cry out for deliverance. But He's got a plan. So we can't say, I'll never be able to do the works of Jesus because of this in my life. We can't say that. I can't say, Father, I'll never be able to do the works of Jesus because there are not enough people attending this church and there's not enough money coming in. I can't say that because God knew from before the foundation of the world how many people be in the church, how much money's coming in. And besides, it's not about the external circumstances. It's about the spiritual change. That's why we have to get past what we presently believe and come to the place of fully accepting that no matter who we are, no matter how old we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, we can be a replica of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that Satan's not going to fight you. He may fight you through your kids and through your parents and through your spouse and through the neighbors and the boss and everything else. He may fight you tooth and nail. I mean, he may do everything he can through as many people as he can to hold you back. Didn't he do the same thing to Jesus? You know what? I'll bet you there haven't been nearly as many attempts on your life as there were on Jesus. Now, he made it. Yes, but he was. You got to stop with the yes, but he was. You know what's happened? Religion has separated us from Jesus and has trained us not to believe what he has said, yet told us to believe God's word. Think about that. Every word of God is true. Hallelujah. Well, he said, here I can do his works. Yes, but that's relative. But I am a relative. I mean, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. You see what I mean? And so you've got all these Christians all over the planet who have been trained not to believe this. Now, let's create the imaginary environment where somebody led you to Jesus Christ and you didn't know a thing. I mean nothing. But they led you to Jesus Christ and you accept, you're born again. Then they got you, prayed with you, got you filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they handed you this Bible and said, now, you can read the Old Testament, that's okay. But what you really need to focus on is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to see what Jesus did and the instructions He gave because He's your pattern. And that is all you had to go by. That's it. And then they tell you, they encourage you to read on into the New Testament to see the things that Jesus taught through the apostles and so forth. And that's all you had. That's all you had to go on. What do you think your life would be like right now? Do you think it's possible that the way you live, I'm not talking about who you're married to and where you work and so forth. I'm just talking about like the way you live relative to your walk with God. Do you think it might be different? I guarantee you it would. Because you wouldn't have any other pattern or model set before you but that of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it would be easy for you to believe, well, I can raise people from the dead. And religion come along and say, well, you can't do that. And you say, but I just did. This person died 20 minutes ago and I just raised him from the dead. But that's impossible. Why, you can't do those things today. And I laid hands on your sick mother-in-law and got her healed. Why did you do that? You see what I mean? About how that religion has trained us. not to believe what the Bible says, but to believe the Bible. And every single one of us, and listen, I'm the same way. I'm in this thing too. Every one of us has to come to the place of believing, truly believing, we can do the works of Jesus in spite of the circumstances. You know, Jesus' family gave him a hard time. I mean, his mom pretty much was there for him. But at times, he, you know, like his brothers, his other family members, man, they didn't go along with this Messiah thing. They had some questions about his sanity. And all his friends. Have you ever thought about Jesus growing up at home? I mean, he did have a childhood, you know. And he did play. He was a little kid. He didn't walk around with a halo with that stone look in his eyes, you know, as a little 12-year-old, a little 8-year-old. I mean, he was a normal kid. He just happened to be the Son of God. And so he had friends. But think about when he grows up, and remember, at one time he's ministering, and the people looked at him and they said, isn't that Joseph's son? We know him. Isn't that the carpenter? We know his brothers. We know his sister. I mean, where'd he get this stuff? You see what I mean? He even ran into some conflict with friends, neighbors, and countrymen. His life wasn't a bed of roses. But he still did everything that the Father wanted him to do. Likewise, for us, if we can take Jesus from the pages of this of the Word here and stop looking at all the red ink as being impossible for us today, stop looking at everything he did as being something that, well, you know, maybe. Stop questioning, why isn't God doing the same thing today like he did with Jesus? And start accepting that the problem's not with God. The problem really comes down to what we believe that we can do. And start truly believing that we can become like Jesus. And we can become like him. Now, let's think about it this way. If someone were to give you a map to a buried treasure, and you look at that map, and as you're looking at it, you begin to realize, hold on here. That buried treasure's in my backyard. Look at this. X marks the spot. And you saw that on there. And you believed it. If somebody could prove to you that that buried treasure was buried, they did, when they gave you the map, they didn't realize it was your backyard. And they told you how that in this chest there was, like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pounds of gold doubloons. Or, you know, do you think you'd dig to get to that? Do you think you'd want to dig down and get the diamonds and the jewels and all this and the gold and all these things? I mean, do you think you would do that? You better believe you would. You might even take your vacation time so you could dig down. You know, I got 2 weeks of vacation. I want to take it now. What are you going to do? Dig for treasure. And you dig and you dig and you dig until you found it. And if you had to take a little money out of your savings account to get a crane to come in and pull that treasure chest up out of that big hole, you'd do it. If you had to spend a little money to rent a backhoe to dig, you'd do it. Would you not? If you knew it was there. If you knew it was there, you'd do it. Okay, now, it's there, right here in this Word. God's Word has said you can do the works of Jesus. God's Word has said you can be the image of Christ. God's Word has said you can lay hands on the sick. You can cast out devils. You can, all those things that are in here. You can do this. God has said you can do it. Okay, so what do we have to do? Instead of digging in our backyard, we spend time digging in the Spirit, in His presence, so that the confirmation takes place and the change happens. And we begin conforming more and more to that image of Christ. And the things that God has said will happen, they begin to happen. See, for me, this is becoming more and more real all the time. How that the results are guaranteed. I say that quite often, but it's true. The results are guaranteed. But do we really believe it? It's like we say, yeah, we do, but do we really believe it? Do we really believe that we can conform to the image of Christ and do those works? Do we really? I say, for the most part, we kind of don't. And the reason I say that was, again, the buried treasure in the backyard, you'd use it vacation time if you had to dig down in there to get that. Because you know once you get a hold of that treasure in that chest, your 9 to 5 days may well be over. Instead of punching the time clock, you're going to buy the company. Hallelujah. Okay, likewise, here's a concept. Using that example, I'm not telling you what to do, I'm just as an example. How many people have ever considered taking a week of their vacation for no other purpose but to seek God? To dig for that spiritual treasure. Now, I'm not telling you to do that. But, you know, if you chose to do it, you know you'd benefit. You know that you would grow. Because again, these aren't my promises to you. These are God's promises to every person in the body of Christ. This is why the whole thing, going back to the theme, the four pillars, prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word, that's what it's going to take. And some might be easier for you to do than others, but the thing is, the results, it's going to happen, and we eventually can become like Jesus Christ and do those works. We have to believe it, though. We have to believe that we can become what He says here in His Word. And when we believe it, when we truly believe it, we'll start digging for that treasure chest, that spiritual treasure chest of His glory and His anointing and His presence. And the more we dig, the more we begin to change. The more we become like Christ. And in the process of digging, we begin to see things happen in our own lives. Our whole belief system begins to change. We begin to see God's Word and we begin to see Jesus. We begin to see other things differently than we used to. We begin to see ourselves differently. A transformation takes place. Jesus never doubted what He could do. Never. Hey, listen, you can't doubt and walk up to somebody and ask, what would you like? What would you have me do? You can't doubt. What if the, you know, go to the blind person. What would you have me do? What if the person says something, you know, you weren't expecting? I need a new toenail clipper. Well, I'm sorry, I can't help you with that one. But what if they say something that you're not, you think they're going to say, I want my blind eyes open. But if you don't know for sure, you better be prepared for whatever. See what I'm saying? We can get to that place, but we have to believe it. Can you think in your mind, capture this vision of you walking up to a blind person and saying, what would you like God to do for you? And a blind person naturally says, I'd like to receive my sight. And you say, okay, in Jesus' name, be healed. And they're healed. You know what? That sounds so far-fetched, doesn't it? You can admit it, but to Jesus, it didn't. That's kind of humbling, isn't it? Break through that, I'll just say it like this, break through that unbelief and capture for yourself the vision of the image that God's Word has painted for you. And it's the same painting that is revealed in here of Jesus. That's what and who we can become. God's representative on earth, just like Jesus. We can do this. Every single person. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Come to the place of fully believing and accepting you can be this. No matter how old or how young you are, you can do this. Don't let religion hold you back any longer. Set your face like a flint and dig in and start changing. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I am not yet there. I might as well admit it. I'm looking for a bigger shovel to dig in that yard. You know what I'm saying? But more and more, God's showing me. And I just want you to be encouraged tonight. You can do this. Every one of you, you can do this. Praise God. Okay, everybody stand.